know y'all were worried. Aren't you glad I'm not leading the choir? I am.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. Oh, did you have the bag? You had the bag. All right. Oh, boy. All right. How are you all doing today? You doing all right? Well, Abby had the bag, and the bag is MIA, but the inside of the bag is here, so we are glad for that. Now, this is Owlette, correct? And she is one of the PJ Masks, and if you don't know who the PJ Masks are, you don't have a little child, and so you're able to sleep in, and praise the Lord for that. The PJ Masks, what do? They fight crime, right? And what's their slogan? I don't remember. It's into the night to save the day. That's right. They save the day during the nighttime. Yes. And that's important, right? And different bad guy. There's Luna Girl. She's a bad guy. And Romeo. Yeah, he's bad. And Night Ninja. Yes, this is the best children's moment ever. That's right. All right. So they save the day and they help each other. Now, do we have the opportunity to be heroes? We do, don't we? We do. We have the opportunity to show people how much God loves them. We have the opportunity to come alongside somebody and help, right? If someone needs help with something at school or at home, we have the opportunity to do that, don't we? And we don't necessarily have to change into cool outfits, even though that's fun. But we can be superheroes and we can help people each and every day, just like Owlette. Yeah, Batman, he's a good one too. We should list every single one that there is. Yes. All right. So the takeaway here is that Jesus loves you and that he wants you to show his love to other people, okay, and to help them, just like a hero, okay? All right. So we don't have a bag today, but who would you like to bring something for our children's moment next time? Lincoln. Okay, Lincoln, you're up next week, all right? Be easy on me. All right, so we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church. That's right. All right. Okay, there we go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for heroes and for what they do for us and for the opportunity we have to be heroes, sharing your love and grace with others. Lord, we thank you for these children, for what we have to teach them, and Lord, what we have to learn from them as well. We ask that you would guide and lead them and help them to become the men and women you have called them to be. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go be heroes downstairs. Jim says he thinks I should have prayed for this superheroes one at a time. I just don't think he wanted to hear a sermon today. Our scripture lesson this morning comes again from Philippians 4:13. If you'll remember last week, we started looking at Philippians 4:13, and we're going to spend the month of September in this one verse. And I know what you're thinking. How in the world can Matt talk for this long on one verse? Well, just wait and see. This time will tell. Today we're going to be looking at it. Last week, if you'll remember, we looked at it from the Common English Bible. That's the translation that we read from. Today we're going to be looking at it from the AMP version, the Amplified version. I actually have that on the screen. If you'll go to the next slide there for us. I don't have it. I am a liar, and that's okay. So the Amplified Version, let me just tell you, the Amplified Version, what it does is it'll take a phrase from Scripture, and then in brackets immediately following that, it will kind of give an interpretation of what that means, and it'll kind of help amplify the meaning. It basically does my job for me. So it's a very, very interesting version, and if you haven't had an opportunity to glance through it, I suggest that you do. It's very helpful, and so you won't be able to see it, but you'll just have to take my word for it this morning. So we're going to read now from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 from the Amplified Version. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us. For the reading and the hearing of this, your word, we give you thanks. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Go to the next slide. Aha! There it is. All right, so there you are. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purposes. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Again, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, if you'll remember, as we were looking at Philippians 4:13, we looked at the first phrase, this I can, and this idea that we really cannot. It is God doing it through us. And today we're looking at this next part, doing all things. And as we considered the contentment that we need to have in God and in the things that he does as a response to his strength in our lives, today I want us to consider the good and strong things God wants to do and how we can be part of that, how we can be part of the things he wants to do. Now, Paul is speaking here of being able to do all things. Now, if we're honest this morning, by a show of hands, how many of us, this scares us to no end? This is terribly frightening. Doing all things. Okay, three of us are honest this morning. All right, good. This idea of doing all things is frightening because we don't know what it encompasses. It is so general. It is so broad that it frightens us because we don't know what God is going to call us to do. He may call me to be a missionary over in some part of the world where they got a tunnel light in because it's so far in the deepest parts of the jungle. God may be calling me to do something here or something there, and it frightens us, this idea of all things. And the Amplified Version, as we've seen today, gives us a great qualifier for that. We can do all things that Christ has called us to do. There's a qualifier here. He's not saying that we can do or should have to do all things, but that we can do all the things that he has called us to do. That's it. Just the things he's called us to do. I'm not supposed to do the things that he's called you to do, and you're not supposed to do the things he's called me to do, right? We each have our part to play. Paul isn't saying that he can or should do anything and everything. He does what Christ calls him to as it comes his way. As the opportunities arise, as the situations occur, Paul is given the strength to do that which is necessary at that time. And that makes it a little less frightening, doesn't it? Now, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to come our way that we're not going to have to deal with or that they're going to be easy, but we know that we will have Christ with us. He will give us his strength. He will enable us to do those things. As we looked at last week, Paul has learned to be content when that call comes. He's learned to be content when he hears Jesus calling him to go here or do this. Paul does not get overly anxious, or at least he doesn't write about it, when Christ calls him to do something. He doesn't hear Christ call and think, well, maybe not. Right? Paul is fairly faithful to the things Christ calls him to. And on the other end of that, Paul isn't overly prideful in the things that Christ calls him to. Well, Jesus, I have been expecting this call. I knew you'd need me to fix this problem, this situation. I knew that you would probably need my insight into this, right? We don't see Paul doing this either. He's not overly anxious or overly prideful. He simply trusts and obeys. He listens for God's call, and he seeks to do it to the best of his ability. The other thing that Paul has learned to be content with is in the other duties as assigned portion of his job description as a Christian. Now, how many of you have ever gone to a job interview, and they've given you the list of duties, and on the very bottom it says other duties as assigned? And how many of us spend 80% of our job doing the other duties as assigned? I love that. As someone who has hired people now several times, it's really nice. It's gratifying putting that in there because I know that we're not going to get everything in there. We'll put it in here. That sucker's going to have to do everything we tell him to do once we put that line in there. This other duties as assigned, we don't know what it's going to look like yet. We don't know how specific it's going to be yet. We don't know exactly what this faithfulness is going to require of us, because it's different for all of us. But we know that Christ is there. Or at least that's the hope. Hopefully we know that Christ is there with us. And so the question becomes for us, are we ready and willing to do those other duties as assigned? Now notice I didn't ask, are we capable? Because we addressed that last week. Are we ready and willing? And again, this can be a great cause of anxiety or fear, because we never know what's around the corner. Or do we? A lot of times when we hear this phrase, all things, we think that it's God is calling us to some general thing and there's no direction or there's no guidance or there's no suggestion about what's next. And that's just simply not the case. One of the interesting things about the call of God throughout Scripture, which I've really kind of noticed this week, is he tends to be very specific when he calls us to something, doesn't he? We tend to think it's pretty general, but it's really quite specific. In Scripture, Jesus calls people to very specific tasks. We look in Genesis, and he tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, that's pretty specific. Take charge of the animals, of the created order. Do your best to make sure that everything is working properly. That's pretty specific. Now, there are a lot of various things that go along with that, but the specific command, be fruitful and multiply and be good stewards. That's it. What does he tell Noah to do? It's pretty specific. Build a boat. Build a huge boat and wait. That's really all he has to do is build a boat. And that's what he does. God brings the animals. God takes care of all of the other things. What does he tell Abraham? It's the shortest single, I think it's the shortest sentence in the English language. He tells Abraham, go. Just go. I'm going to show you where to go. Go to the land I show you, and I'm going to show you and have you do all of these things. Just go. Okay? He tells Moses to free God's people. Again, it's pretty specific, and he tells him how to do it. He even tells him that he's going to fail initially so that God can be made known to Pharaoh and the others. He tells Peter to feed my lambs. Again, it's pretty specific. He tells all of us to make disciples, to go and make disciples. And then in the midst of all of this, as he tells us in Deuteronomy, we are to love him and to love others, to love God and love others. That's pretty specific. Love God. And if we avail ourselves to the means of grace, we will see how specific this call is. Now, when I say the means of grace, I'm talking about ways that John Wesley saw the primary ways that we can be in communion and fellowship with God. So if we spend time in prayer and fasting, we will hear God specifically, and we'll begin to see where he's leading us and guiding us. If we read Scripture daily and attend public worship, again, we'll hear from him and we'll see him. If we attend to the sacraments of communion and baptism, we will see God. We will hear from him. And it won't just be this general command to do something, but it will become very specific to us. We will begin to see things and hear things and know where God is calling us to and what he's calling us to do, because God will get pretty specific. As anyone who's read through the first five books of the Bible can attest, he gets pretty specific with things. And I almost guarantee, the last time you heard God's call in your life, it was far more specific than you maybe want to remember. And maybe now as you're looking back on it, you're thinking, you know, that was pretty specific. He told me to do this, and that's what I did. And it may have been difficult. It may have been outside of our area of expertise or comfort, but it was pretty specific. I can remember God's call for me to preach, to be a minister of some form or fashion. I had no idea what that was going to look like. I was, as many of us have been, paralyzed with all of the what ifs, and I was paralyzed with this idea of all things. You mean I've got to preach every Sunday? I've got to tell people they're right, even if I don't think they are? I've got to say I'm sorry, even if I'm not? I've never done that here, but, you know, just in general. You mean I've got all of these, what does this even look like? And as I began to ask God, when I finally said yes, he began to show me just the next step. And it was pretty specific. It's kind of like, why don't you talk to your parents, your pastor about this? That's a great idea. I'll go do that. So that's what I did. I went and talked to them. Why don't you change your major? What a great idea. I was a business administrative student going in, and before I got any of those math classes, God called me. Grace of God. Thank you, Lord. And so I changed my major to Bible and theology. I didn't have to take math anymore. Woohoo! Change your major. I can do that. That's easy. Why don't you go to seminary? Where in the world do I go to? There's one right across the street. I went and took a tour for two reasons. They gave me lunch, and they gave me a free t-shirt. It was awesome. God rewarded me for listening, hearing his specific call and doing it. And then I can remember wrestling with whether or not I was called to pastoral ministry or youth ministry. And so my very first appointment, I had the opportunity to do both. And ta-da. You can see which one I felt God calling me to. And we can argue about whether or not I listened to that properly or not later. We tend to make God's call far more difficult than it needs to be by adding all of the what ifs, by focusing on the all things, by focusing on all the possibilities that could be there, or all the problems or situations. Well, God, certainly you're not calling me to do that because there's this, and I just don't have time, and blah, 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 blah. The specific call that we're given, hear this morning, the specific call you are given is part of God's greater plan. Every last one of us in this room today, and those that aren't here, all have a part to play. And our part isn't the whole thing. You don't have to do it all. I don't have to do it all. We just have to be faithful to this specific call placed on us. And our part is never unreasonable. Once we look back on it, we think, you know, that wasn't too bad. That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. We need to know something this morning, because I think this is the first thing we tend to think of, or at least it was for me. We need to know that Jesus is not calling us to save the world today. Jesus is not calling you to save the world. You are not a PJ Mask. You are not a superhero, and that's fine. You're not being called to save the world. Jesus has already done that. The world has been saved. Salvation has been, and it continues to be offered each and every day to those that have not yet seen it and asked for it. It's already done. Doing all things simply means being prepared in season and out of season. Are you prepared? Are you willing to do what Christ has called you to do? Matt, how do we prepare for that? Pray, fast, read Scripture, go to church, communion, baptism. Focus on those things. Be prepared. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, God tells us what he requires of us. He says, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God is the all things that he gives us the strength to do. Because if we are doing these things, we will be doing what he has called us to. Are you prepared this morning to treat people justly? Are you prepared this morning to love mercy so much that you share it with others? when the opportunity arises. When we are with God, walking with Him, we're not going before Him, ahead of Him like we tend to do. We're not going behind Him, going too slow like we tend to do, but we are with Him, side by side. What is the first thing Adam and Eve missed when they stopped listening to Him? They were fearful of His presence as He comes to them in the cool of the day to walk with them, to be with them. We don't go before, we don't go behind, but we go with Him, step by step, day by day, year by year. When we are with God, the road becomes clearer. It doesn't become clear. There's still some patchy fog ahead of us, but it becomes clearer. The task seems less daunting when we are with God. And all of these things that we are afraid of or that seem to creep up into our mind, they come into focus, and we begin to see them for what they really are. Sometimes they're nothing more than distractions. Sometimes they're things we don't need to fool with. Sometimes they're things we need to really look at and we really need to consider. I pray this morning that we would do all things with God, that we would be content enough in His love and grace not to be overly anxious or overly prideful, but to be prepared and ready and willing to do the things that He has placed in our path to do. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again so very much for this day that You have given to us. Lord, it is a day like any other, a day filled with opportunities, a day filled with challenges. Lord, a day filled with many, many things. May we be focused on You. May we be walking with You so that we are ready and willing and prepared to do whatever it is You are calling us to this day. Forgive us when we ignore You. Help us to hear You clearly that we might know how specific Your call is. And may we, in the strength of Your anointed one, Jesus Christ, do that which You have called us to. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.